Life has its ups and downs, and like many of us, I face moments with depression. Music has always helped me find my way through, and I believe it can do the same thing for you. I'm James Cox, and this is the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, a podcast about the healing power of music.
Hey everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your handicapped host, James Cox. I have an exciting interview today. I've wanted to interview him for a long time. Tim King from the band Soil is here virtually. He's not in the building because I don't have the building yet. So, Tim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy. How are you? First of all, I want to apologize to everybody watching this on YouTube. I was halfway between my record label office and home to do this and got stuck in some traffic. So I'm pulled over and it's 5:30 at night here. So you're getting the dark version of, you're getting the Batman version of Tim King here. So
Which is always great. Yeah. So, your band Soil is returning to the UK in October, November 2026 next year, which is great. With Figure 11 and Ademia, you know, and I just wanted to give that shout out first before we get things going, you know.
Appreciate that. It's a year's away, but we're still really excited about it. Great package, and you know, it's going to be great to go back to the UK. So we love it there. So tickets are on sale. So if anybody's watching and you're out in the area, get them now, because I just saw the pre-sales. It's only been on sale for 4 days and we sold about a fourth of the tickets already. So nice. It's crazy.
I've never been to the United Kingdom. I've been to the Philippines because my dad is a retired colonel. So we lived in the Philippines and mostly here in America. But yeah.
Oh, nice.
How long has it been since you've been to the UK, or is this like a yearly thing that y'all go?
We used to go pretty much every year. Now we've been going every other year. So we went in October and November of 2024, and we did the entire Scars record front to back. So we took this year off to write a new recording and new material. And then next year we're going to be back to the UK, but it won't be just the Scars material. We're going to play new stuff. We're going to play the hits. We're going to play some fan favorites, some deep cuts. The whole night. You're going to get the full catalog on that next tour. So,
are we going to get something from the Play It Forward album? Because that's all covers, and I love that. I love that record. That's great.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because actually, honestly, that's one of my favorite Soil releases. We had so much fun recording that, and I listened back to it, and the production and kind of how we took the spin on the songs is really awesome. I find myself listening to that more than any other Soil stuff that we have, actually.
Right. Yeah. Well, I find it awesome because you not only have metal songs that you cover, but you also cover like Tom Petty and Foo Fighters and a lot of various stuff, you know. Were those songs from the Play It Forward album, which came out in 2022, did all of you collectively agree on this record, or did each of you pick the favorites of each member and just put it on this record?
Yeah, what we did is we told everybody to make a list of songs that they think would be interesting if Soil covered them, and just to compare everybody's lists. And remarkably, a few songs had like up to 3 votes. So we were thinking on the same page. And then what we did is we took the ones that had the majority of votes and those got picked right away. Then we took the ones that had 2 votes and we picked those. And then the ones that had, you know, just single ones, then we started talking about it and stuff. So probably about half the record, we were all on the same page and had already been, you know, one or, you know, two or more members that already voted on them, and then the rest we just kind of talked about and figured out. So it was really fun. We've never done anything like that before, so it was interesting to kind of dive into other people's songs and try to make them our own.
Yeah, and I remember watching I think it's Hard to Handle by the Counting Crows, y'all covered or something. I think it was Hard to Handle.
Maybe no, not. we didn't do that one.
Okay. Maybe it was another band that I'm thinking about. Yeah. But Yeah. Oh, okay. So I'm looking at your catalog here, and from 2013 to 2022, it's like a wide area of being away from the solo band, being away from the public. Now, we all know that Ryan, your lead singer, is a part of Drowning Pool. Did that take effect from 2014 to 2021?
No. Ryan, to give you the timeline, Ryan was in Soil for 7 years. Then he left. He went to Drowning Pool for 7 years. Then he came back to Soil, and he's been back in Soil for 14 years now. But he didn't rejoin Drowning Pool until, I believe it was 2022. He's only been back in the band for like 3 years. And they lost their fifth singer, and they asked Ryan to come back and fill in. So he's been doing both bands now. But the reason for the lack of the new material is, we worked the album Hole, which came out in 2013, for a long time. Thank you. We did that. We basically toured on that for almost 3 years. And then, things started changing in the business and things, and, physical products started, dwindling, and a lot of people were just putting out singles and stuff. So we just kind of decided that we wanted to just keep playing out and doing shows and things like that to kind of see where everything landed. And then, everybody kind of moved away. Me and Adam, our guitar player, are the only ones that still live in Chicago. So, Soil was always a band that we wrote songs in our room together. There was, amps and drums and guitars and bass and vocals and all that. And when we took that element away, it kind of took a lot of the creativity away, to where we weren't getting together regularly in the room, in our jam room, to write and practice. So it just kind of, all of a sudden, the next thing you know is 5 years go by, 7 years go by, 8 years go by. And, in that time, we released the Greatest Hits record. We did the covers record. We did the reimagining of some of the old song stuff. But, we finally determined, we've done everything we possibly can. We can't release any more of these specialty pieces. Yeah. So it's finally time to, get in the studio and record new material. And that's what we did in 2024. We went down to Nashville for a couple of months, and we recorded a ton of new songs, and we're going to put those out in 2026. So we've got some festivals that we're confirmed on. Sonic Temple's already been announced. We're going to do some touring around all those festivals. We're going to go back to Australia. We're going to do a lot more USA touring. We got UK already announced. We're going to go back to Europe. So we're going to do a full album cycle and release new material in 2026. So Soil's going to be back and very active next year.
Nice, nice. Well, I wanted to talk about your bass because you are a bass player. And I didn't realize this, but you played a 12-string bass back in 2002 on the Auschwitz tour, I think, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
I did.
Yeah.
I had an endorsement through Gibson, and then this company called Hamer, who were the creators of the 12-string bass.
Yeah.
They came to me and said, would you like a 12-string bass? And I said, sure. And I'd bring it out. I brought it out on Ozfest and played it on the song Unreal.
Yeah.
And then they came to me because they were getting so much response from me just playing the 12-string, and asked if I wanted to do a Tim King signature Thunderbird bass. And I said, sure. So they made me a prototype, and I loved it. And then they put it into production and, put it out for limited quantities for, other artists to buy and stuff. And then I had an arsenal of them. Right. And then Hamer got absorbed into BC Rich. And I left Hamer and I went to Spectre, and I've been with Spectre ever since.
Yeah, Spectre is a fantastic brand. So if you could erase, so a lot of our fans, I know they didn't give a lot of respect for bassists back in the day, which they absolutely do now. But back then, if you could erase one common belief about bass players, what myth would you delete forever, in people's minds?
Well, there's a lot of things with bass, there's the fingers versus pick, you know, there's people who are very like, you know, oh, you're not a bass player unless you use your fingers. And then there's the guitar players that couldn't really play guitar very well, and they switched to bass, which are the fake bass players. Right. Then there's the bass players like myself, which started out on bass and were true bass players. And then you got bass players. It's always weird because bass players are either very like business savvy, up in the forefront, very energetic, very, you know, part of the band, or they're in the background hiding. I have a very vibrant personality, so I'm more of one of the upfront bass players. You know, I got that as a page out of Nikki Sixx and, you know, David Ellefson and Duff McKagan and stuff like that. But you know, so it's like bass is a very, I love the instrument. I love how it carries the groove, and it's like the glue that holds the band together, that holds the drums and the guitar together. And it really locks that in. Yet you can still, if you do certain things on bass that are flavorful and stuff, it can really shine and make, you know, songs pop and become great songs. I mean, if you look at Aerosmith songs, I mean, Tom Hamilton, the bass player of Aerosmith, I mean, Aerosmith would not sound like Aerosmith without Tom Hamilton. And same with like Korn, you know, with Fieldy. I mean, part of that entire Korn sound and vibe is from his bass, you know? So, you know, there's a lot of bass players that sit in the background and just kind of are there, but there's a lot that, you know, the band wouldn't be the band without that, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, Primus, for another example, you know, right. Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Steve Harris from Iron Maiden, the list goes on and on.
Right, you know? Right, yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you this question just for my benefit. I don't know if my listeners know, but, okay, so most basses are 4 strings, sometimes you get 5 strings basses. But with the 12 strings, right, does that give you more of a flexibility with deeper sounds? Because I know bass is more like a deep sound and a vibe of an instrument. What's the meaning behind 12 strings? Because, and I'm sure you saw ZZ Top's bassist have like that 46 string bass. It goes all the way. Yeah. It's insane, yeah. But for you, do you get more richer, lower ends with the 12th string that you couldn't necessarily get with the 4th string?
I mean, just to be honest with you, it's more of an ego stroke. It's, okay. You could put a chorus pedal on the bass and it would sound the same. All you're really doing is just playing, you know, it's just different octaves of what it is. Cause it's three of each string. So, you know, right. 4 times 3 is 12. Yeah. So I don't know. It's more or less just a conversation piece to me. I mean, I could slap on my Digitech chorus pedal and get the exact same effect that I get from the 12 string bass. I mean, I haven't played that thing live in 15 years. It's still sitting in my closet right now. So, yeah. So, I mean, it was a novelty thing, and it was a novelty thing, something to talk about. I mean, I put it on a couple of records on some songs to kind of, you know, give the bass a little bit more, like when the bass was on its own with just like drums playing or something, it gave like a little bit more of a chorusy kind of weird vibra effect to it. But in all honesty, it really doesn't do much of anything.
Oh, okay. It just
except look cool on stage.
It's a conversation piece, just like you said, which is great because I like to talk about anything, you know, too. So, what's a tiny detail in your playing that you personally obsess over, but no one else ever notices? Or do you even have a tiny detail that you want to play over and over again, but no one seems to notice besides, but only you?
Yeah. I mean, one thing, which is kind of a key, there's like three things that are a key to my playing. I mean, number one is the tuning that we use, cause we're in A sharp, and I really try to make the bass, go straight up the middle in the mid range section. It's not too high and it's not too low. So I have a real mid rangey sound. But with as deep as the sound that we have and the tuning, the bass cuts really well, and it's a very unique sound. And then another thing that a lot of people don't know is because I'm so tall, I have a really long bass strap. And my bass, you know, basically is hanging down pretty much to my knees.
Okay.
So I up pick a lot, which also gives a unique sound to my playing. So like when a lot of people, you know, are down picking, because the bass is so low, I actually up pick to catch the string better. And my, one of my guitar techs way back when, he's like, do you notice yourself up picking all the time? And I'm like, no, I just kind of play, you know. And I'm like, now that I notice it, I'm like, you know, I'm constantly like up picking. So like I'm picking from down up instead of up down. So
right,
that kind of gives a unique tone and characteristic to what I do. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't something that I consciously did. It was something that I did, you know, basically because I didn't want to have the bass jacked up to my tits and playing that. So I wanted to wear it as low as possible. And since I'm almost 6'4". Right. So being that tall, I always had to combine two bass straps or have custom made ones. So, that's probably the most unique thing about my playing, that and the tone for sure.
I guess you would call that like a happy accident. You know, it's not really,
It's
not really an accident. And it's more like a, I don't know what you would call it, but it's happy something, you know,
it's kind of like if you watch Marty. It's kind of like if you watch Marty Friedman play guitar, holds his hand is like really curved, like weird the way he picks. He's got this weird picking style. And I'm sure he didn't do that on purpose. It's just the way he plays. Right. Kind of like me with the up pick all the time. It's weird. So,
A lot of bands, think that, think that one genre is all supreme and better than any other genre, right? You being in metal and rock, do you think that is true about metal music? Do you think metal expresses better than any other genre, or like do you like think that all genre is very much needed?
You know, I mean, it's kind of what, you know, people like. I've always been, you know, a rock metal fan and drawn to that. You know, I mean, I'm still a huge death metal fan. I even have another band that I started a few years ago called Embryonic Autopsy, which is the death metal thing in. And, you know, I have Soil, which is more on the hard rock, you know, metal spectrum, you know, new metal, I guess a lot of people lump this in with, but you know, I love all genres of rock and metal, but you know, as far as other genres, like, you know, hip hop and country and pop and stuff. I mean, I have respect for all that because, you know, they're doing, that's how they're able to, express themselves. That's their art. And that's how they express themselves. And, you know, who am I to tell them that they're, form of music sucks. I mean, that's, you know, people get drawn. That's the beauty of music. It captivates people and expresses different emotions in people in different ways. You know, some people love hip hop because it makes them feel a certain way or because it brings out an emotion into them. You know, some people love metal because it's like being kind of in a specialized club, you know, because if, you know, you go walking down the street wearing a metal shirt, you know, other people look at it and like, hey, you like that band? You like, you know, blah, 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 and so and stuff. And, you know, and it, you know, it takes away, it gives an outlet to get like some aggression or anger out. You know, other people love pop music just because it's, you know, more commercialized or, you know, it speaks to them in a way. So, I mean, I have nothing, there's no genre of music that I can say I hate or despise or anything.
Right.
It's just, you know, rock and metal is, that's my passion and my love.
It's your home.
And some people, you know, for the people that don't like it, it doesn't bother me.
No.
You know, people like what they like. It's kind of like saying, you know, as far as like relationships, people have all kinds of relationships. People date in, you know, same sex, different sex, a little bit of both, you know, interracial relationships. It's kind of like that with music. You know, people listen to, you know, all kinds of different music. It's whatever makes you feel comfortable and whatever is your calling and what you like is what you should go with, you know?
Right. I agree, you know. And I never understood why people don't like you for liking some kind other genre, you know. Because I like country, and country will always be my favorite, but I love metal too, you know. But country will be my always number one go-to genre, you know. I just can't explain it to why. Well, I just like it a lot better than metal, you know. It's not because I dislike metal, you know, less, but I still don't understand why the whole, you know, arguing over which genre is perfect and which was not, you know. It just,
yeah. I mean, I think it's a matter of pride. People are very proud about what they listen to, and you know, they want to stand up for it and sail the flag. I mean, you know, like I love Madonna. Madonna is like one of my you know, guilty pleasures. And you know, like Katy Perry too, you know. I just love their songwriting and, you know, the music that they do, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm any less of a metalhead than I am, you know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, problem. I never understand this. But going back to Soil's big catalog, which is all great stuff, especially Loaded Gun from the whole album. You know, that's...
Oh, thank you.
That's a terrific opener, man. That is a badass song. And that is very good. But that song and a lot more songs that you have under your belt. What's the sort of song that fans misunderstand, but you... wanted to express it in a different way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good question, because, you know, Ryan's lyrics are very vague, and they're really, and he kind of writes them. I mean, he writes them with a specific purpose.
Okay.
And Halo is completely opposite of what you would probably think the actual song is about, but he writes lyrics in such like a cryptic and non, you know, specific way. And he doesn't really do that on purpose, but it just comes out. Right. But a lot of people think of it differently. And that's what I kind of love about the Soil, you know, lyrics and vocals and stuff, is that, you know, it doesn't really pinpoint any specific topic. It's kind of very broad, and it's for the listener kind of takes it in a different way than, you know, another listener would.
Right,
it's not very, you know, it's not very black and white. They're very gray area type stuff. Like, you know, Halo, for instance, is, you know, that's about Ryan's struggle with the music business, about how he loves playing music and he loves being on stage and performing and stuff, but the business aspect of it drives them nuts, you know, all the inner workings of it and what you have to do and how you have to play the game to get to the part of creating music and being able to play it and all, you know, you have to go through all these politics and things like that. So it's like how Halo is like, you know, I will stone you. That's how he like hates the music business, but Wrap My Arms Around You, how he embraces and loves it. And it's a part of him. And many people don't even know that's what that song's about, type thing. Yeah. So it's, you know, with Soil specifically, you know, everything kind of has its own hidden meaning, but I think the fans take it for whatever they feel the meaning is and hold it very special. We've had a lot of people say, you know, this song or this album saved my life. And when you hear somebody saying that, that's powerful.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
That literally gives us a reason to keep doing what we do, because when you hear somebody saying that a specific song of ours or a specific album of ours literally saved their life, like from committing suicide or picked them back out of a dark hole that they didn't think they could ever come out in. I mean, that's powerful. That is just something that, you know, is magical.
Absolutely.
And, that's what makes me really proud about being in this band and doing what we do, you know?
Yeah. The most magical thing about music is perception, you know? And I'm sure Ryan does not absolutely mind what it means to them he talks about how Halo, you know, he doesn't like the business, right? But if somebody takes it and makes it mean something to them totally different from what he had in mind, I don't think Ryan minds, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that's what it is. I mean, that's what it's for. And that's,
well, yeah.
I think that's why so many people hold a lot of our songs very dear to their hearts,
yeah.
and are very like diehard, Soil fans and very dedicated Soil fans, because the music and the lyrics, you know, mean something to them that they interpret maybe different than someone else would,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do have five more questions for you, but I do want to thank you for coming in and giving your time here. We're going to do like a lightning round. Okay. I want you to answer these real fast, you know, and don't think about these hard in enough, okay? Okay, so we're going to do this right now. You got to pick one of these. Tone or technique?
Tone.
Tone. Okay, first album you ever bought with your own money?
Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil.
Nice, yes, I love that album, man. That's okay. Go to junk food on tour.
Junk food, you say?
Yes.
Probably White Castle.
Perfect. Well, I don't think that's kind of considered junk food, right? So
yeah.
Okay. So favorite city to play where the crowd always goes like bonkers, like nuts. You know, it's so wild. You know.
Oh, for us, Halo for sure.
Yeah. Favorite city.
Oh, favorite city. Manchester, England.
Okay. Most underrated bassist of all time.
Oh, definitely someone like Duff McKagan or even Tom Hamilton from Aerosmith.
Ooh, love that pick. Yeah. One word that describes Soil's energy live. One word.
Over the oh.
Over
fuck.
The
that way.
Fuck. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Last thing. Yeah. Okay. Coffee or energy drinks?
Neither. I don't drink either of them.
You don't drink coffee?
Why no, not? I don't drink energy drinks.
Oh well.
For me, it would be a Mountain. I'd have to sideswipe you on that and say Mountain Dew.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, because I drink that too. They got some awesome flavors. Okay, but before you go,
yeah.
I
guess you can consider Mountain Dew an energy drink.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. Before you go, I want to ask you about your label, Pavement Entertainment. Are you like the public relations for your artists on it, or are you just on your record label?
Yeah, me and my partner, Mark Nawara, co-own the label together.
Yeah.
Mark is, you know, handles the finance and he's the CEO. I'm the vice president. I help him with that and I handle all the A&R. And then we have a full staff, you know, of people that do like publicity, social media, radio and all that. But we've got some great artists on the label, you know.
Yeah.
They have like Plush and Ted Nugent and Candlebox
and
Darman 5000.
Yeah.
Ed P. So, you know, we've been really blessed with having a lot of great and well-known artists on the label. So we're in our 13th year as being a label.
Yeah.
We formed in 2012. So this is our 13th year as a label.
Yeah. And I see Soil is a part of that label.
North America.
So technically, is Soil an independent label? I mean, like, I know this isn't like an independent label, but I mean, as opposed to your record companies that had you before, you can do more with this with your label than they gave you access to like long time ago.
Well, I can do anything I want because it's my label.
Well, yeah, yeah. Right, right. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, cool. Okay.
With it being my label, I can do anything I want with it. So that's a helpful tool.
That's a plus, right? Yeah, that's a major plus. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, three more questions for you, and then we'll go. I think we're running at the time. Okay. So, Tim King in his former years, like high school, 15, 16, 17, we're looking at your walls in your room. Which musical posters are we looking at? And I know we're looking at a Motley Crue poster, correct?
Oh, absolutely. All hair metal. Motley Crue, Cinderella, Faster Pussycat, LA Guns, Guns N' Roses, Dokken, Ozzy Osbourne, Striper. I actually like them. Yeah. And then I started switching over towards the end of high school. It became Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax, Nuclear Assault, Metal Church, Halloween. And then I really, like, during my college years, then I really started getting into, like, Napalm Death, Obituary, Deicide, Cannibal Corpse, stuff like that. So during my early high school years and junior high years, it was all, you know, one wall dedicated to my crew, and then the rest were all, you know, stuff I could pick out of Hit Parade or Circus and Metal Edge and all those magazines.
Right. Yeah. All great bands, because I love I'm not a very big fan of Deicide, but all the other bands you mentioned, great bands, you know. So we're going to do a Mount Rushmore of your four favorite bands right now or back then. Who would it be? You got four bands to choose from. Your favorite four.
I mean, Motley Crue's always been my all-time favorite.
Yeah,
Love that band. I'd probably have to go with, probably Morbid Angel. Okay. I've always loved Morbid Angel a lot. Aerosmith, they've always been a top favorite of mine.
I have it.
And what else? What else can I throw out there?
Yeah, you got one more.
I got one more. Let's see. Oh, My Dying Bride. I've always loved that band.
Nice.
So a few extremes there.
but that's fine, because a girl like me, man, you listen to everything, and you know, I listen to everything too. I'm trying to get more into jazz now, but you know, I guess it's more like a you gotta really pay attention to jazz, you know. So
Chick Corea Electric Band is an amazing jazz band.
Okay.
If you want to check that out.
Right.
It's Chick Corea and his electric band. He's got Dave Weckl on drums and John Patitucci on bass, who are like two of the best. Ooh, so
yeah,
check that out.
I'll definitely check it out. Yeah, yeah. So we got one more question, and then we'll let you go. Okay, so one band, album, or song that you could name, but you can't tell me, your bandmates, or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul. What would that be?
Oh boy.
This is pretty probably that
Leanne Rimes song, How I Live Without You.
Really?
That one always gets me.
Yeah.
That one always gets me. Especially in that movie Con Air. I always get a tear in my eye at the end of that movie when that one comes on. So
Con Air.
I've never told anybody that. You're the first. You're the first one to get that out of me.
Exclusive, huh? All right. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Yes. So we honestly do appreciate you coming on tonight, even though, you know, you look like Batman in the dark, but that's okay. I love Batman, too. And just for follow-up, you are returning to the United Kingdom next year, October, November, with Finger 11 and Endemia. And you are on Facebook, Instagram, all the fun stuff, correct?
Yeah, everything. Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, YouTube, bands in town. I mean, you name it. Soil's on there.
I'm still trying to figure out TikTok, brother. I can't, you know, for the life of me, figure that out yet. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird platform.
It is.
As older guys, it's harder to figure out.
It's harder. Exactly. But maybe we can get together and help each other out with it, you know, someday. So, all right. Yeah. So I do honestly thank
you. For sure.
Yeah. I honestly do thank you for coming on, Tim. And I beg you to come back anytime you want to. And I'll keep in touch with you through email or something, you know. So that'd be fun.
Sounds good, my man. I appreciate the interview, and you stay safe. And thanks again. Those were some fun questions to answer. So,
thank you.
It's been a pleasure being on your podcast. And let's keep in touch. You take care, man.
Yes, you too. And with that said, everybody, thank you so much for listening. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks.